Today's reading is from Mark 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Forgive me preaching with a cup of coffee, but my throat is... I've had a viral infection for most of the week, and bizarrely, and through the grace of God, it gets better through... What do you think this is, panto? Thankfully, it gets better through the course of the day. So I wake up barely able to breathe, and by the time I get to sort of mid-afternoon, I can function. And I've managed to turn some of the cough into some of the script in the evening. So you have to forgive me if I cough a bit. It's Epiphany. Can anybody remember what I preached on last year on Epiphany? You've been to sleep since then. You've had reminders of what I preached on an Epiphany right the way through the year. And some of you might have thought, oh, he's just left some bits on the newsletter. Has anybody spotted anything Epiphany related? No, it's not on there today. No, I'm not giving you any clues today. Has anybody spotted anything on the newsletter over the course of the last year? It'll appeared randomly at various points. The three gifts on the bottom. Can you remember what words went with those three gifts? No, it wasn't as obvious as that. No. Next to gold was the word giving. Next to frankincense was the word worship. And next to myrrh was the word healing. And what I wanted to do was just reflect today on the last year at All Saints. Because I think the prayers that we prayed at the start of last year have been answered. Now, some of you will have spotted that the chalk signs above the door have changed. You might remember, you've seen it on the newsletter, last year I suggested we look again at an ancient church tradition of writing a chalk blessing on the doorposts of our houses on the Feast of the Epiphany. Can I punch your newsletter? Those who haven't looked at the newsletter yet, don't look at page 3. There's a warning for those who might be pregnant or have a heart condition when it comes to page 3. But on the front page, you'll see those symbols, those letters and numbers written there. 2020 is for the year. The crosses are for Jesus. And then the letters, CMB, the traditional names of the wise men. We don't know what their names were, to be honest with you. We don't even know how many there were, but traditionally there have been three because there were three gifts. Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. But in Christian tradition, those words also stand for, I'm going to have to read it here because it's in Latin, and I didn't do Latin. I went to Adwick. Of course I didn't do Latin. Didn't do English at Adwick. Yeah. Christus mansionem benedictus. Jesus Christ, bless this house. And I wrote those over both of the main doorways to this church and over the doorway to my house. And I have to say, I've never known a year like it. I have never known a year like this. The second Sunday of January was the feast where we remember Jesus' baptism. Slightly odd that that comes at that point in the church's calendar, but that's the decision. And I remember talking about Jesus' baptism being Jesus saying that he was all in. And I invited you all to say that for yourselves, to say, I'm all in. And to get you to kneel at communion, put your hand up, and I would pray for you and sign you with the cross as a seal of the Spirit. And the music group played some beautiful music that I can't quite recall at this moment in time what they played. I believe it was something about surrender. More than 3/4 of the people who were there that Sunday came forward and said, I'm all in. And since the beginning of last year, I don't think there has been a single Sunday at All Saints that hasn't been significant in some way or another in our worship, in our prayers, in the response to the preaching. It has been a year like none other. God has blessed us in our worship. The gift of frankincense has been burning in this building, thankfully in a non-allergenic way for those of us that suffer from it, for the whole of this year. I don't think I can remember in the 15 Christmases that I've been here starting a new year from such a high level. It's been beautiful. And when it comes to my own life and my family life, as many of you know, this year's been pretty crap. Sorry I'm saying a rude word in church, but it has. And I'll own that. Writing a blessing on the door is not magic. Writing a blessing on the door is not a guarantee that everything will be fine. Jesus didn't say, you will not have trouble. Jesus said, I will always be with you. Can't believe, just a few days ago, I was awake late, well, early in the morning, and the verse for the day popped up on my phone as I was looking at my phone instead of going to sleep. And I read that verse, and I posted it on Facebook and said, this feels very apt for me at present. And the following day, the situation with my family went even worse. And God had already given me the verse I needed, so I'm scrolling back. I do post a lot of rubbish on Facebook, don't I? Here we go. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. In the really grim days back in April and May, and I know many of you were praying for us as a family back then, Jackie said to me a few times, do you need to go to the doctors? And I was like, probably, but I know what they'll say. I'll sign you off. And I was like, please God, don't take All Saints away from me. Because I would arrive here on a Sunday morning, and at 10:15, I would have nothing in the tank. Nothing at all. And by the time I left, God had used me to bless you, and had filled me to the brim with his Holy Spirit. God has transformed our worship this year. And do you know what? I want more. Because what we offer yet is not worthy of the God who made the heavens and the earth. What we offer, as good as it is, better than Wren Collective, is not... You weren't here when I made that particular gaffe. What we offer is not good enough. because I want us to give even more to the King of Kings. I haven't yet given everything I am and laid it down before him in worship. And I don't think any of us can say that. So let's look to that. Let's offer our gift of frankincense again this year and say, do you know what? More, Lord. More, Lord. You have given us more than we could possibly have asked for. And we give it all back to you. That wonderful prayer, I don't pray it very often at the start of the communion prayer here. But my first rector that I remember, John Lythe, some of you may remember John Lythe. He was the rector of Sproutborough when I was growing up. And I still remember him praying before the communion table, before communion. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth are yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Let's offer all our worship back to him. But there are two other gifts. There are two other gifts. There's myrrh. Myrrh, the peculiar gift. I've said before, it would be like taking a little white coffin to a baby shower. It's that in your face. It's an awful gift to give to a child. But it is also for healing. Myrrh was a healing oil. It's a very, very peculiar smell. I might have a pot of myrrh tucked away somewhere. I'll see if I can find it at the end of the service. For those that haven't smelt myrrh, it's a very odd, it's a cloying sort of smell. It's sweet and bitter at the same time, which is quite apt really for myrrh. But myrrh, for me this year, has been about healing. And we've seen amazing healing. And we've seen some things that didn't happen the way we wanted them to. And you know what? I don't have a problem with God healing. I do have a problem when prayers don't seem to get answered. When people we love aren't healed in the way we long for them to be healed. But do you know what? I always remember what John Wimber said. He said, if I don't pray, nobody gets healed. If I pray, some people get healed. And the more I pray, the more people I see get healed. So I'm going to carry on praying. We need to be a church that understands suffering. We need to be a church family that owns suffering. It's so easy on a Sunday morning to rock up and say, how are you? Oh, I'm fine too, bye. Even amongst us, we can do that. It's one of the reasons I've chosen to be as open as I have been about the situation that I've been facing this year. Not because I want you all to feel sorry for me, but I want to try and model a reality of sharing with one another all of our lives, not just the pretty dressed up Sunday lives. We are family. I've got all my sisters. No, I'm not going there. In the worst families, you don't talk about stuff. Don't talk about it. You don't mention that. Don't talk about money. Don't talk if you're struggling. Don't talk about yourself. It's rude. In the best families, we care for one another. And that's what I love about All Saints, is that we care for one another. And so many people have cared for me this year and cared for others this year. Myrrh, the gift that brings the hope of new life and heaven out of death, is a precious, precious gift for me this year. And I hope it is for you. If you're facing those difficult times, if you're crying out to God to be healed, if you're crying out for God for those whom you love who are facing the most dreadful times, then call on God to give you again the gift of myrrh that was given to the Christ child for your healing and for the hope of resurrection. For unless we die, we cannot be raised. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, Jesus said, it will remain but a single grain. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it will sprout and create a harvest of 30, 50, or 100 times of what was sown. Sow in tears and you will reap in joy. I promise you that. No matter how hard it might feel now. So let's myrrh be a gift that we continue to share one with another. And gold, pounds, shillings, and pence. Is your wallet or your purse Christian? It's a question I ask myself. Do I use what I have, not just money, but the things I have, and the time I have, and the talents I have? Do I use those to follow Christ as well? Does God get the best of me, or the worst of me, or the bit that's left over when I've done everything else? I've been starting a Bible plan. I've tried adventurously to read the Bible in a year for several years, and I usually end up getting lost somewhere around sort of May, June time. So I've decided this year I'm not going to do that. I found a Bible reading plan that helps me to read the Bible over 3 years. So it gives me a chance to catch up on the days when I miss it. So far I've done 5 chapters of the Bible. I've done 2 chapters of Matthew and 3 chapters of Genesis. 4 chapters of Genesis, sorry. And the last chapter of Genesis was the story of Cain and Abel. 2 brothers who bring their gifts to God. One brings some grain, and the other brings the very best of his flock to offer to God. God looks at Cain. God looks at Cain, God looks at Abel, and he accepts Abel's gift because it's given wholeheartedly. And you know the story. Cain goes on to murder his brother. No. Abel was the younger brother, by the way. We need to offer wholeheartedly. And as we stand at the start of this new year, I want to say thank you to those of you that have given sacrificially this year, that have given out of the riches that God has given you. Every pound you put on a plate, every pound that ends up being given, goes towards the work that we do here. Those of you that don't ever put money on a plate because you give generously through your bank accounts, through the parish giving scheme, in other ways. Those of you that just buy bits and pieces that the church needs, that get on with things that need doing in the building. Those of you who give of your time and your talents to make grottos look fantastic, to make sure that doors work properly, to make sure this carpet is hoovered on a regular basis. Those of you who physically can't do those things but give your prayers, who spend your lives praying for this church and for these people and for me and for Jackie. Let's be a generous people in this next year, as generous as you have been. And I want to say thank you for your generosity. I have been overwhelmed this December by the generosity of time that so many people have given. There are too many of you to name, but there are lots of you here that have said, what needs doing next? I haven't had to do any of the rearranging here on my own this Christmas, because at the end of every event, somebody's looked at the board and said, what do you need setting for the next one? And I want to say thank you to you, because it's made a huge difference to me this Christmas. So, do you know what? Let's keep going. Giving, worship, healing. It's not a bad way to enter a new year. Not a bad 3 gifts to give back to this community. What gifts can we offer to the communities that God has called us to serve, to Woodlands and to Highfields, to the Red House Partnership, to the church in Doncaster, to the Diocese of Sheffield? We have so much to offer. I don't think sometimes some of us realise how rich we are. Yeah, we're poor as church mice. They moved out to get a better standard of living. But we are rich. You sit here on a Sunday morning and think, don't like this. Come with me. I'll take you to a few churches locally. Let's rejoice in the riches that we have. We are one of the richest churches in North Doncaster. I'm not talking about pounds in the bank, although we're not doing too badly. I don't know if we ended the year above or below. We ended the year above. Right, okay. Catherine has a line. I'm not going to tell you where the line is in the bank account. And the closer we get to that line, the more she panics. And if we dip below that line, she panics a bit. Now, can I tell you, do you know where that line used to be when I first started? Zero. We ran hand to mouth when I first started here. I can tell you that line is not zero by a very, very long way. But we finished the year above that line. You know what that tells me? When we come to do the accounts, it should look good. We are rich in ways you cannot possibly begin to describe when we look around. So let's be generous. Let's be generous with the other churches in our area. Let's be generous as we reach out into the diocese. Let's share everything that we've got. We've already shared Steph and Kirsty Rigg. Let's share some more. Let's get more of us out there. More of us who are committed to seeing family as church and church as family. A church where children can yell their heads off, although they're all fast asleep now. Oh, Matt is eating. No, that's okay. Those gifts were given to Jesus, and he's poured them out on us this year. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth are yours. All things come from you. And of your own do we give you.